Book of Job, chapter number 23. We're going to talk about something tonight and something that's kind of caught my interest over the last, probably month, 2 months, and something I'm trying to learn a little bit about. I'm always trying to learn something new, how to do something different, and a different skill that I can apply in different ways. So I'm going to talk about some stuff I've been learning tonight and how God's kind of used this, and I think it'll apply to all. Well, I know it'll apply to all of our lives if you'll let it apply to it. It may not be that it'll apply right now, but at some point in your life it'll apply. So let's, if you found Job chapter 23, let's all stand for, if you would, for the reading of God's Word. Job chapter number 23, verse number, we're going to read the whole chapter, it won't take me real long. It says then, verse number 1, then Job answered and said, "Even today is my complaint bitter, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him." Everywhere in the Bible, in this chapter where it's talking about him, it's talking about God here, okay? You could see that if we read chapter 22, but it says in verse number 3, "Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No, but he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him, so should I be delivered forever from my judge. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand, that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind, and who can turn him? And what is his, and what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For he performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence when I consider I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for everybody that's come tonight, and even though pastor's gone, and I pray that you would just help me tonight, Lord. Just give me the words that I ought to say. Help my illustrations be clear and to the point, Lord, and help us get out here in a timely fashion tonight. Lord, I pray you just receive all the glory and honor for everything that's done tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. My new hobby, which I don't really have hobby. I guess I got like one hobby, and it's probably hunting. But I like fishing too. But if I had a new hobby, it's something to do with work. Oddly enough, most of my hobbies end up working somewhere along the lines. But one of my new things, and it really kind of has caught my attention, and I've done a lot of reading. I've read several books about it, and I guess like Pastor was talking the other night, I'm always trying to learn something new. And this is something that's kind of, it's caught my attention, and I really think it would be pretty cool. But it's actually a form of blacksmithing. You know, we don't have blacksmiths anymore, you know, that are really practicing blacksmiths. You know, everything's done on a mill, or everything is done, in a big factory. You know, machines punch it all out, and it all goes into big furnaces. I mean, everything's, we don't have what we call blacksmiths anymore. Well, I started to do a little bit of research on it just because that kind of thing kind of intrigues me. And what has really intrigued me, though, is the knife-making aspect of it. And there's actually pretty good money in it if you get into it where you can do it real well. I mean, it's nothing to sell a knife for a couple hundred dollars, you know, if you can get into it real well. And that's kind of caught my interest. And in particular, I was watching this, I don't remember even where I saw it, but I was watching a thing, and this guy, he was from over in Poland. I don't even think he could speak English. But every year in Poland, they have this contest where they take one-inch thick ropes, and they'll hang them free-hanging. And then you take a knife, and you swing at the rope. The rope's free-hanging, and you swing at the rope, and you try to cut the rope off with a knife. Now, I don't have a single knife that I believe that I could cut one-inch rope off with in one swing. I don't think I have one in my possession that's free hanging. Now, if it was taught, I might be able to do it with like a machete or something. And they have this contest every year in Poland where they will go and they will see how many ropes Not one, but how many one-inch ropes these guys can cut through in one swing. And this guy made this knife, and he cut through 10 one-inch ropes in one swing. Now, I don't know what kind of knife he made, but that's a scary knife right there. Okay? And, you know, that was like, wow, that's a knife right there. That's one to be proud of wearing, you know? And, you know, so that kind of caught my attention, and I was, you know, I'm never going to make a knife like that. If I do, man, I'll give everybody one. But I want what happens, so don't get your hopes up, all right? But to make a knife, you know, there's a lot of processes. It's not just finding a piece of metal in your backyard and, you know, taking an angle grinder and grinding it down. There's a lot more to it than that. And I've started to do some research on it, and it's amazing that the metal, you have to know the metal. There's different types of metal, different mildnesses of metal, I guess I could say, and everybody that has dealt with metal would know that. And so there's some things about that, and this passage in Job kind of caught my attention because it kind of reminded me of the fire. Because in the blacksmithing, and not the modern blacksmithing, but in the old blacksmithing, of course, they always had a forge. And that forge would get super hot temperatures. And these men would take, and it's a lost art, really. Some of the books I have, some of the things that the old blacksmiths would make is absolutely amazing. You know, all the parts that we now would see in our machines, at one time, they had to be made by hand by somebody. So all these things were made by these men. They knew what the metal could take. They knew what was required to produce a certain product. They knew what if it required certain strengths, certain weaknesses. And so these men were actually, they were metal geniuses in a way. So I want to talk to you tonight. If I was going to make a knife, there's three basic things I would have to do. And I want to talk to you tonight about why the fire. Why the fire? And sometimes we always think, man, why am I going through this? You ever think that? And it's like, why does this have to happen to me? Okay? There's been a couple things in my life. It's like, why? Why did this have to happen to me? Why couldn't it happen to somebody else? And we always think of that in our personal situation. But everybody's got your own situation where you think of, why is this happening to me? And I want to talk to you tonight about why the fire. Job chapter 23, verse in most of it, but in verse number 8 especially, down through the end of the chapter, it says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And backward, but I can't perceive him." I don't know where he's at. So in my mind, Job is almost like that piece of metal in the fire. All he sees, he don't see the blacksmith that's holding the tongs. All he sees is, man, this hurts like crazy. All right? So I want to talk to you today about that. If I was going to start with a knife, probably from my research that I've done, a good thing to start with would be a leaf spring off a car. So if you're ever missing a leaf spring and I come out with a new knife, I'll give it to you. I really will. No, but a leaf spring. The reason the leaf spring is a real good metal for a knife is because it's high carbon content. Okay? And that is one of the main things you have to look for when you're, and some Brother Tim could probably tell you this, some of the others have done a lot of metal work. When you're making a tool out of metal, it has to have a high carbon content. You ever heard of carbide-tipped tools? Well, that's a concentrated thing of carbon. Okay, so you can carbonize different. I gotta be careful how much I tell you tonight because I've learned so much. But you can carbonize metal if it isn't already carbonized. But for sake of easiness, I'll just rob a leaf spring off something I've got. So if I take this leaf spring, the first step I have to do, and the first step I think that God sometimes sends us through, you think, Brother Chad, why the fire? Why is God sending me through this right now in my life? The first step that the metal has to go through is a process called annealing. It's annealing. And you say, Brother Chad, what is annealing? Well, that leaf spring, I can't just take that leaf spring and take my grinder and start grinding it down to try to make it sharp. For one, it would take me forever to grind a leaf spring down, because a leaf spring is what we call already been tempered. Okay, it already has a certain quality. The molecules of the metal in that leaf spring are a certain quality, and it would be extremely hard for me to make a knife just out of a straight leaf spring without first modifying it. First of all, you know, 3/4, 3/8 of an inch thick. okay? So, you know, that would take me forever to grind something out. And if I ground it out anyway, then the structure of the metal would be compromised, okay? And it would actually become more fragile. So the first process is called annealing. What they do, what the blacksmith does is he takes that metal, whatever he's going to use. In my case, if I was going to use a leaf spring, I would take that leaf spring and I would put it in a forge type situation, okay? And I have yet to build my forge, but I will get one built eventually, hopefully. But I will take this piece of metal and I'll stick it in a forge, okay? And this piece of metal has to get between 900 and 1300 degrees temperature, okay? Extremely hot. What this does is it actually breaks the molecules apart, where you can actually form it. And then the blacksmith, once it has reached that point, metal will turn red hot at 725 degrees. So it has to be past red hot, okay, just red hot. It has to be super cherry red hot to anneal it. And that takes the temper out of your metal. And, you know, sometimes, folks, I think God, in a way, annealing is just softening the metal so I can work with it. And I think sometimes God says, I got to stick you in this fire, and it's not to hurt you, but it's to make you soft. Oops. It's to make you soft. And we got to be careful. Sometimes we get mad at God because we don't understand that the process he's putting us in is just to make us soft, just to tenderize us. I bought a tenderizer, and this really has nothing to do with metal, but I bought a tenderizer to tenderize meat with because I butcher a lot of meat and stuff. And what you say, Brother Chad, what does that tenderizer does? It's got two rollers of intermeshing metal blades. And I stick the meat in there and I crank it, and those metal blades demolish that piece of meat. I mean, absolutely just demolish it. Why? Because it makes it tender. It cuts those parts. You know, and I think God sometimes does that to us. He said, I got to stick you in this fire. And like Job, sometimes we can't see God. Where's God? Where you at? But we have to understand that there's a reason for that. All right? And I'm going to talk about, there's three processes here, and I'm going to talk about all three of them. But, you know, the blacksmith, he'll stick that in there to anneal it. And that annealing is taking out all the temper, all right? It's not taking the carbon out of the tool. It's just taking the temper out. And you have to be careful because if you leave it in there too long or it gets too hot, it will actually take some of the, start burning off carbon. And it depends on what kind of coal you use or what kind of fuel. Certain fuels will take carbon out of it also. So you have to be careful about that, okay? But God has that perfect fire, that perfect temperature that he has to get me to before I tenderize, all right? So God anneals us sometimes in the fire. You ever heard of a Damascus steel? Damascus steel? It's actually a work of art, but it's beautiful. And sometimes you think, what is that crazy design on that? But it'll be many, many different shades a lot of times. And what they do is each one of those different shades is actually a different layer of metal. And every time that blacksmith sticks that blade in that fire, he'll take it out and he'll put another layer of metal on that and beat the fire out of it. And it hot welds itself to each other. And that Damascus steel, some of them, they've got well over 100 different layers within a, you know, what, 3/16 inch of a blade? Hundreds of layers. And it makes a very strong blade, makes a very sharp blade, because when you sharpen it, those layers actually come out and it makes microscopic burrs. So when you cut, it's almost like a mini serrated knife. And that's why they cut so well. But a Damascus blade, and it's because that blacksmith, time after time, sticks that knife back in that fire to anneal each one of those layers so he can beat it into the shape that he wants to. I can't take a leaf spring and set it on an anvil and take a big sledgehammer and start beating on it. I could beat on it all day long, and I probably wouldn't make a dent in that leaf spring. It's too hard. It's already been hardened to a certain degree. So the first thing I think God does, you say, Brother Chad, why the fire? Because I think God wants to anneal us. In verse number 16, if you look at verse number 16 with me, it says, for God maketh my heart what?
Soft.
God maketh my heart soft. Well, how did God make Job's heart soft? Think of all the fire that Job just went through. He lost everything, except his wife. He lost everything. So it was a fire that Job had to go through to anneal him, to make him softer. Okay? After the blacks, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 6. I want you to look at this. 1 Peter chapter number 6. Or I'm 6. I don't even think there's 6 chapters of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. Verse number 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, that might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. There's all kinds of verses like this, but you know, I honestly believe that sometimes God sends us through the fire, and although we might not understand it, if you see, you know, there's 3 verses here, verse 8, 9, and 10 in Job chapter 23, says he's on the left hand where he doth work. The blacksmith's always working. The blacksmith always has a purpose in mind for what he's doing. But the metal doesn't understand why it has to go back in that fire again. The metal doesn't understand it, but it has to, several times, in fact, to go back in that fire so it softens it back up. Do you know, a blacksmith, I could stick that leaf spring in the fire and I could anneal it, and I could pull it out and I could work with it a little bit, trying to shape it in the shape I want. But you know what happens after a while? What happens to metal if you leave it out in the air for a while? It started to get cold again. And the colder it gets, the harder it'll get. So what does a blacksmith have to do? He has to stick that piece of metal back in there and reheat it. Hotter and hotter again. So I think God sometimes just wants to soften us. And we got to be careful. Don't let your heart get hard. We got to be careful that we keep our hearts soft, okay? The second thing, after the blacksmith, or after I would take that piece of metal and after I anneal it, where I can work with it, after I cut my blank out from my knife, and I get it honed down, because I want to get this knife almost in the finished product before I treat it the next time. So I'm going to have to get this knife honed down. I'll take it, and while the metal is still soft, I can grind it. Okay, it doesn't hurt the metal to grind it at this point because it's been annealed. It's soft. And I can take that grinder, and I can really grind off a lot of metal. So I'll grind off the bevel that I want, okay, or grind the shape that I want. You know, I'd probably make a full tang knife. It means that the spine of the knife goes all the way through the handle. Okay, so there's different parts of the knife. And I would make that, and I would treat it and, like, you know, I'm forming this. This is a tool that I can use later, okay? So I've annealed the knife. Now comes another very important time, and this time it's got to go through the fire again. Once again, I stoke my forge up, and I turn my blower on to get the forge superheated, okay? And I'm going to stick my knife back in there, all right? Once again, after I've formed it, you think, well, Brother Chad, you've got the shape that you want it. Yes, but I could take that knife out right now, and if I hit something with it, it would ding that knife up really, really easy. That knife will not hold an edge at all. It's almost like a butter knife. I mean, it has no temper. It has no hardness left in it. So the second thing that I'd have to do, you say, Brother Chad, why the fire? The second thing I'd have to do is hardening. I have to make it hard, all right? And we have to be careful. This is a very important part of the process because I can actually make it too hard. Say, for instance, I would heat that knife up to a white hot, which is extremely, extremely hot. If I heated that knife up to white hot and quenched it in pure water, they say it would become almost diamond hard. But at the expense of being diamond hard, it would also become very, very, very brittle. Very brittle. Okay, so I don't want to get it that hot. But we got to be careful. In the Bible talks about 2 different hardenings, and I want to talk about those tonight. Why the fire, Brother Chad, is to hardening, to make it hard. You know, God needs some tough Christians. We've got wimpy Christians out there. And, you know, how do you become a tough Christian? By a fire. That's how you become a tough Christian. I mean, if you go out and somebody says something mean to you on visitation, and you go home and cry about it, that's not real tough. So how does God, well, maybe he's got to send you through a fire to make you hard, to harden you. But we have to be careful because we have to be careful that we don't get hardened against God when this happens. Think about Pharaoh. Remember what the Bible said over in Exodus chapter 4? He hardened Pharaoh's heart. Now, I don't believe that God reached down because I don't believe that God chooses some people to be saved and some people to be lost. I believe that God reached down and he sent the plagues. And as a result of those, that was fire. And as a result of this, Pharaoh hardened his heart. But it wasn't against the things of the world. It was against the things of God. And I've seen a lot of people, and I've even had things in my life, where God sent maybe a small little bit of fire. And instead of accepting it as God trying to harden me, make me tougher, make me to rely more on him, I got mad at God. And sometimes we get mad at God and we don't understand why God has to send us through that fire again. And we have to be careful about this. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed in that without remedy. You say, Brother Chad, how can something that's so hard be destroyed? Let me illustrate. I brought my tools up here. All right. Oddly enough, I'd have tools with me. All right. This is a file. Okay. A file is used to file different types of files or used to file different types of things. This is a metal file. Okay. When they talk about tempering, there's a term that they use called file hard. File hard. And what that means is as hard as a file. Now, a file is very hard, otherwise I wouldn't be able to take it to another piece of metal and file that piece of metal off without damaging this file. But as a result of this, this file is very fragile. It's very, very brittle. I can't take my hammer that I would use my chisel with. I can't take my hammer and try to use a file like a chisel. It would shatter. Okay? If you've ever broken a file, they break real clean, they'll break real fast. Okay, you can't bend a file. It just don't happen. If you try to bend a file, it's going to snap. Okay? And that's what happens. Sometimes you say, Brother Chad, how can something so hard be broken so easily? Because we look here, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth alway, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Proverbs 21, 29. A wicked man hardeneth his face, but as for the upright, he directeth his way. We can't let ourselves become so hard. Because if you let yourself become so hard against the things of God, what does Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 29 say? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? God's word will break us. You know, Pharaoh got broken. Pharaoh's whole army got defeated. The Bible says in Proverbs, where I just read the verses to you, if we harden ourselves too hard against the things of God, we're more apt to be broken. And I don't want that for anybody. The tool, it's very important for this tool to be hardened, to be used. The hardening of a hardening fire for a Christian is a very crucial time. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, I think it says something like, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know, God wants some Christians that can endure hardness. You know, I think there's some hard times coming. So what kind of Christians are there that need to be able to face hard times? Hard Christians. Your heart has to be soft towards the things of God. But harden yourself against the things of the world. Don't let those things affect you. You know, this file isn't affected by this hammer rubbing on it. But this hammer is affected by the file rubbing on it. So we can't let the things of the world affect us. We have to be hard against those. But we can't let that hardness make us bitter towards God. I remember when I broke my pelvis when I was playing football. I didn't understand that. I was like, what in the world? The day before, I'd been on visitation. We ran. We were passing out crazy bunches of flyers. And then I broke my pelvis and I'm laid up for 3 weeks or 4 weeks or however long it was. I don't remember. And I got mad at God about that. I'll be transparent with you. I was like, why? And you say, Brother Chad, that's a little thing. I know, but to me, we're activities my whole life. It's the middle of deer season. It's the middle of harvest. Things I love to do, and God's taken me from that. So I had to be careful not to get hard. God, I did get hard. I got hard against God. I got bitter against God. And we can't let ourselves do that. We have to yield to that fire. Like Job said, we have to trust the guy that's holding the tongs. He knows when to pull you out. He knows that time. And I'll talk about that in just a moment. I need to clean my tools, I think. All right. So we have the annealing, which is the softening. All right. And then we have the hardening, which is once the tool has been formed. It's that hardening where the blacksmith sticks, where I stick that leaf spring back in the fire to harden that back up. So I heat that to a cherry red. They say a cherry red in a dim building. Have you ever seen pictures of a blacksmith shop? They're all very dim-lit places. You say, why is that? Well, metal looks a lot different in broad daylight than it does in a dark room. So, and a lot of this, and you'll see later when I talk about this, a lot of this is actually based on color. The old blacksmiths didn't have thermometers that went up to, you know, 1,200 degrees. So they judged a metal based on the color. So when they saw, oh, just a few seconds longer, okay, it's good. They'd pull that metal out. But they heat that metal to a cherry red, and they quench it. They dunk it very quickly into some kind of liquid. Now, there's different kinds of liquids, and the different kinds of liquids quench it in a different manner. Say, for instance, that I had this file, okay? And I wanted to quench this whole file after I got the grooves cut in it, after it's been annealed. I can cut the grooves in it, but then I harden it, okay? So I'm going to harden this. I'm going to heat it to a cherry red, and I'm going to dip this in pure water. Pure water has a very low boiling point, 212 degrees, I believe. And that would, it would harden this completely, the same completely through the metal. But say, for instance, that I was making a nice knife, okay? Well, I don't want to make the whole knife really, really hard. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to heat it, okay? I'm going to heat it evenly. It has to be heated evenly because if the blade's a different temperature, it'll do different things. But the blade has to be heated evenly. And then I'm going to take that blade, and I can either dip it in water, I can dip it in salt water, or I can dip it in oil. Say, what's the difference? Water boils at like 212 degrees. So it would quench it completely, and the same hardness would be through the whole tool. Salt water, depending on the concentration of salt, will boil much slower. It takes more temperature to boil it. So if I dip it in salt water, it'll actually, the outside of it will actually get hard, but as the farther in you go, it gets softer. Oil boils at three times the temperature of water. So if I want a knife that's tough, that I can use to pry on something if I really wanted to, but it'll also hold a real nice edge, I'm going to quench it in oil. Because the slower the process, the better the metal will be. It allows the metal to stabilize better. So I'm going to stick that knife back in that fire, okay? And this is just to harden it. And then I'm going to dip it completely, real quick, in oil. And when I dip it completely in oil, it's going to give it a real nice edge that'll hold its edge. But the inside of the knife, after you get past the edge of that knife, the inside of that knife is going to be soft enough that if I was going to have to pry on something, or if I had to use it and take a hammer and beat on the top of it or something, it's not going to shatter on me. It's not going to break. So that's the way I harden it. And so God, I think, sometimes uses fire in our lives to harden us. First, He uses it to soften us. Then He uses it to harden us. You know, I think after Job went through all this, think about this. After Job went through all this, what more could happen to a guy? I mean, if you start at the bottom, all you can go is up. What else could happen to him? So when he had all this happen to him, that was a hot fire. But God knew when to pull him out. He knew what Job could take. And I'll get to the verse, it's in here somewhere, but 2 Corinthians, it talks about God knows how much trials we're able to take. I don't have the wording right. But He knows when to pull us out. God knows when to pull you out. So don't worry about that. Just concentrate on doing what you need to do when you're supposed to do it, okay? So the third thing, and this is the last thing. Oh, this is kind of interesting. The hardness. Why is hardness important, Brother Chad? The sword makers in Solingen, Germany, and if you have ever had a knife from Solingen, Germany, it's usually a very high-quality knife. It's just the knife makers there do a good job. But they take a sword, okay? And there's hardness test for a sword is they have big rocks. And they'll take that sword and they'll swing that rock and swing their sword at that rock. And if their sword can chip off a piece of that rock, but it does nothing to the edge of the sword, they consider that hard enough. Pretty tough. All right? That's why, you know, if a guy's in a sword fight, you know, we don't have sword fights anymore, but if a guy would be in a sword fight, I don't want my blade getting nicked up every time I hit the other guy's blade. Brother Reiser, we bought some swords. We buy these swords for our, you know, whatever we do up here, our fight scenes or choreography, whatever it is. And of course, you know, we're not going to spend no $200 on a nice sword. So he gets these like $35 swords, right? All right, so when we get done with one of these Bible schools or something, it looks like a steak knife. It really does. Why? Why doesn't it take up to the, everybody hears about the Japanese samurais, their swords, you know, they'll cut through other swords. I definitely have never held one of those, all right? For one, I can't afford one. But that's, we're definitely not using those up here, all right? That would be kind of scary. You know, we'd be sword fighting, all of a sudden he swings and my sword drops in half. You know, I was like, okay, let's figure something else out to do, all right? Let's use sticks. But, you know, we got to be careful. You know, that's why hardening is important. It hardens the tool to what it can be used, all right? The third thing, you say, so Brother Chad, I thought you said that we have to be careful not to harden it too much. That's true. But a lot of times what the blacksmith will do is he'll harden it to file hard. Remember what I said, file hard is basically the what a file is. And it's easily obtained. You heat this to cherry red, dip it in pure water. That's file hard. It's not as complicated as it might sound. At least I hope it's not. I haven't tried it yet, so hope this turns out right. But file hard. But I can't use this file like I'd use my wood chisel. I can't use this file like I'd use a cold chisel. I can't use this file as a hammer. That's not its purpose. Its purpose is as a file. Now, if all I was ever making in my life was files, that process would be fine. I could dip it in cold, heat it cherry red, dip it in cold water, I'd be done. All right? But that's not the end. The next step that I believe that God sometimes does, why the fire, Brother Chad, is to temper us. Is to temper us. Okay? He takes the file hard knife, and there's several ways to do this, but he takes that file hard knife and he has to temper it. Basically, he's taking some of that hardness back out of that knife when he tempers it. So the third time he sticks this knife through the fire, he's not just shoving this whole knife down in the fire and letting it get red hot again. He can't do that, okay? Because basically he'd be annealing again. He's starting all over. This time, he uses more concentrated flame, okay? And he heats that knife very carefully. Now, this was really interesting, and I really enjoyed reading about this. But at different temperatures, the metal will attain different degrees of hardness, and I didn't realize that. But I could take the same piece of metal, and I could make every one of these tools out of this exact same piece of metal. In fact, I could throw my pocket knife in here. I meant to bring one of my bigger knives, but I could throw my pocket knife in here. I can make all five of these tools with one piece of metal. You say, but Brother Chad, they all have different functions. I can't use my pocket knife as a chisel. It just does not work. Okay? But my pocket knife will maintain a much sharper edge than this cold chisel will. And my pocket knife will maintain a much sharper edge than this hammer will. The consistency of this hammer. So everything has different ways to temper it. And folks, you know, sometimes God, he hardens us, but then he's very careful and very tender. And this is a very crucial part. But God takes you and puts you back over the fire. God, again, I can't believe it. It's happened to me again. Why is he going through anything? Every person has something, a certain task that God wants you to do. And the only way to accomplish that task is for God to stick you back in the fire and to wait until you reach the proper temperature. When you reach that proper temperature, he can then pull you out of the fire, requench you, and you will be a tool that he can use. Let me explain this. This is really interesting. At certain temperatures, the metal will achieve a different hardness. When the metal achieves a hardness he desires, he once again quenches it and the metal is hard. A blacksmith can actually even temper a piece of metal to different hardnesses within the same piece of metal. For instance, for a knife, if I had a knife that was a full tang knife, all right, I could temper my edge. I read a story. There was a Filipino blacksmith, very primitive, all right? He had a little boy pumping the bellows for him. He didn't have nothing automatic. He had a little boy pumping the bellows for him, and he took a knife, a bolo. Anybody know what a bolo is? It's a curved machete, basically. And he took this bolo knife, and he heated it to just what he thought was the right temperature. And then he took a squash, like a melon, that had the exact same curvature as his bolo blade. And he sunk just 1/4 inch of that bolo blade into that squash. and it tempered just the edge while the back of it stayed soft. Pretty neat, pretty amazing. Well, this is the same thing. The same process is used wherever, okay? So I can do that. I can make my tang soft, and I make the spine of the knife soft, but I can make the edge very, very hard, so it will hold an edge well, and it won't get dinged up, okay? You say, Brother Chad, how do you do this? I can take that knife, and I'll hold it. I'm going to use this microphone like a fire, all right? It's kind of scary like one, but we'll use it. I can take that knife, and I'll use this chisel, and I'll just hold it over here, and I'll watch it. Now, after I took it out of the fire that last time, what I did is I'm going to take some emery cloth or some kind of sandpaper, and I'm going to polish this to almost a mirror finish, real shiny, almost like stainless steel or something. I'm going to hold that knife or whatever I'm tempering back over that fire, and I'm going to watch the color of that knife. And, you know, folks, God does that to us too. He knows what we can take. He knows what you can take. And sometimes we're like, oh, God, it's too much. I can't take any more. I can't take any more. God, take me out. Please take me out. No, I got to hold you a little bit longer. There's something later on down the road. There's somebody that you're going to have to influence later on down the road. And unless I temper you to the right temperature, you're going to break when that time comes. Just hold on. And he holds us there. And I watch the color. If I want something with a good sharp edge, I'm looking for a straw color, like the color of golden straw. And I watch the color. And then for example, this chisel, I would start heating it down here, okay? Because I want my point to be real sharp, but I don't want this to be real sharp or real hard down here because it'll break. So I'm going to heat this over the fire down here, just like this. I can watch, it's called oxidation. The metal will actually change colors, okay? It'll start back here. It'll start at a straw color back here. And that straw color is going to start working its way up, all the way up here to the tip. When this tip is completely straw colored, if that's the color that I want and that's the temper I want, I will once again quench that and pull it back out. Okay? For instance, you say, Brother Chad, what are different things? Okay? An axe. An axe is, you temper it to a dark purple. Okay? A dark purple. Hammers, except for the faces, many times are tempered to a dark purple. The faces a lot of times will be tempered to a straw yellow. That way the face is hard, but the inside is soft. So when you hit something, it doesn't ding the face up, but the softness within will take the vibration, the shock of hitting something. So anything that takes shock is going to have a dark purple. And that's actually what I want back here. I want a dark purple all the way up until it gets to this bevel, and then I want straw yellow. That will give me a super keen edge. But when I hit something back here in the back, it's not going to break on me because it's tempered just right. Okay? My knife, for instance, if I was going to do a knife, I would want the edge of it to be a straw yellow. Okay? And I'm going to watch that color. The different colors have different. The dark purple, at dark purple, it's 550 degrees. Okay? At light purple, which is what I'd want to temper this cold chisel for steel. At light purple, I've got them all wrote down up here. I couldn't remember them. At light purple, it's 530 degrees. So I'm going to heat this exactly to 530 degrees before I quench it. Okay? And that's what a lot of the big companies do. You say, Brother Chad, how do they all have people that's standing over there with a fire watching the color? Oh, not yet. No, they'll just make a big oven, basically, and they can heat the whole thing to 550 degrees and then quench everything. And everything will have the exact same, very uniform temperament, okay? A chisel for wood. This is actually going to be heated either to a straw yellow here on the tip or a spotted red and brown. And then it will fade to a purple or dark blue back here. Springs. You say, well, Brother Chad, what kind of temperament did your spring have when you got it? It would actually have been tempered to a dark purple, okay? The darker the purple, or if you go to blue, blue is very soft, actually. You're taking almost all that hardness back out of that piece of metal when it turns blue. Okay, have you ever taken something and you held it up on a grinder and you held it there too long and you looked at it and there's kind of a rainbow-colored blue in it? You took all the temper that was in your tool out of your tool. I don't know how many drill bits I've ruined trying to sharpen them, and I look at it and it's almost a blue-black. That drill bit will be no good for, for drilling steel anymore. Unless it's, I mean, I'm not saying no good, but it had to be pretty mild steel. Unless it's retempered. You can retemper them, and it'll be as good as it was before. You know, folks, God takes us, and he holds us over that fire for just the right amount of time. You say, Brother Chad, why the fire? Why do I have to go through this? Brother Chad, why does this chisel have to go through this, and this hammer doesn't have to be tempered quite as hot? Because the chisel has a purpose, and the hammer has a purpose. Neither one of them can swap places. I don't take my framing gun that I have, a passload framing gun that shoots 3.5-inch nails, I don't take it to put trim up in a house. It'd blow it apart. But on the other hand, I don't take my trim gun and go try to frame a house. You wouldn't want to live in it. Okay? Every tool has its purpose. Every one of us, we have a purpose. My purpose in life is not the same as your purpose in life. This tool's purpose is not the same as this tool's purpose. Therefore, they have to go through different amounts of fire before they are turned out in the right spot. The blessing about this is all we have to do is we can't let ourselves turn on God and get bitter about God. Because God knows exactly. You say, Brother Chad, I don't understand. Well, I don't understand a lot of times either. But we have to be patient to let God just hold us there. Why does God have to hold me there so much longer than somebody else? I don't know. But you know, there's things that some of you folks have gone through in your lives that I haven't gone through for yet. You say, Brother Chad, why did me and my family have to go through this? Well, maybe there's somebody else down the road that you can help. I'll never be able to help. I've never been in those shoes, but you've been in those shoes. Okay? So God tempers us. So first, God softens us with fire sometimes. You say, Brother Chad, why the fire? God softens us. Second, he has to harden us. Thirdly, very carefully, once again, he puts you back over that fire and draws the temper, draws the collar. Remember, you have to be there for a certain amount of time. You say, Brother Chad, I'm right in the middle of it. Hold on. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, it says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful." He's a good blacksmith. He won't take his tongs and shove you in the fire and then go to eat lunch. All right? You're not going to melt. You'll be okay. God's a good blacksmith. He's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. You know, I've kind of noticed this too. You know, the whole quelching thing. Man, God, it's so hot in here. It's so hot in here. You know, I think sometimes what God does, he gets us to that temperature. Man, it's hot. And then he cools us. Sends us, at least he does that to me. Sometimes I go through something where it's a hard time in life or things just don't seem like they're going my way. And then all of a sudden, God says, all right, I'm taking you out here. Here's a blessing. And then but because of that tempering fire, because of that hardening fire, because of that annealing fire, I'm now a different tool. I'm now something different. You know, I could take this hammer, and this is the neat thing about God. I can take that spring, say for instance here, I could take that spring, that leaf spring that I'm going to try to make my knife out of, I can anneal it, and I can forge out a hammerhead. I can temper it, I can use the hammer, I can stick the hammer back in the fire, I can anneal it, I can pull it out, I can harden it, I can stick it back in the fire, I can temper it, and I can get a chisel. I can take the chisel when I'm done with it, I can stick it back in the fire, and I can anneal it. I can pull it out, and I can harden it, and I can temper it, and I can make a cold chisel, steel chisel. Then I can take that steel cold chisel and stick it back in the fire, I can anneal it. I can harden it. I can temper it. I can make a file. So, Brother Chad, why can't I just go through one fire? Because maybe God's got several things he wants you to do. We're not, God's purpose is unseen to us. We have no clue what God wants us to do. But that tool, when the opportunity comes, that tool must be ready. It must be annealed, it must be in the right shape, All right, this isn't the right shape to hammer something with. It must be annealed and put in the right shape. It must be hardened sufficiently so it'll take a blow or keep an edge. And then it must be tempered to the right degree, to the right heat, to the right collar. When God accomplishes all this, He has a tool belt full, a congregation full of different people with different skills, with different tools, that He can accomplish anything that He wants to do. So I guess my thought in all this, don't get mad at God when He puts you in a fire. You'll end up like Pharaoh. You'll end up like Pharaoh. You've got two extremes here. You got Job and you got Pharaoh. Pharaoh was destroyed. That you may have heard of the word temper as when it comes to glass. It's the same process, different temperatures, but the same process. Tempered glass is strong. Why? Because it's been melted, formed, hardened, tempered to the right temperament. A piece of pottery, same thing. It started out as clay, it was formed, it was put in, and it was tempered. Make sure as Christians, and this is for me too, this is as much for me as anybody, I can't get mad at God when God puts me back in the fire. I don't know what He has coming for me next. But boy, I don't want to be a hammer if God reaches in His pocket for a chisel. If I'm reaching in my pocket for a chisel and I can't find anything, I'm going to start chucking things out until I can find something. All right? Or, if I can't, this is what I've done. This is what I do. This is my redneck way of doing things. If I can't find the right tool at the right time, what do? This will work. I can't find my cold chisel. I need to cut that bolt head off. It'll work. Is that what that's designed for? So what does it do to it? That's right. Makes it serrated. It damages it. So if everybody is what we're supposed to be, if everybody is tempered to what we're supposed to be, then God can, there's no limit to what this church could do. There is no limit. But what happens a lot of times is myself or others, we refuse to go back in that fire. Or we get mad at God when He puts us back in that fire. So when the call comes for somebody to do a special job, to do a special task, it's not there. It's not available. So then the church can't go forward because the proper tool, wasn't there when it was needed. So let's just be careful when God's putting us in the fire, to understand why the fire. It's to soften us. It's to harden us. And then it's to temper us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for all that you taught me through this. And that it was interesting, Lord, learning about this, Lord. And I pray that you would just help us. Lord, help us to allow ourselves to be softened and then to be molded into what you'd have us to be. Lord, then once we're molded, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be strong Christians that are hard against the things of the world but not hard against you. And then, Father, help us to be patient as you stick us one more time, maybe back in that fire, to reheat us and to temper us. Although we may not understand why or how long you do it and you plan it for. And then, Lord, if necessary, even help us to be willing to go back in the fire to anneal us again and to harden us again and to temper us again so that we can be used in another way, in another manner for you. Lord, thank you for all that you taught me through this. I pray that it's just a blessing to the folks tonight. And we'll thank you for it. Give everybody a safety on the way home. In Jesus' name, amen.